So the Bible reading for us today comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Thanks be to God for his holy word. So before we get into this, I wanted to start with a quote from St. Augustine in the hope that we're not going to end up here at the end of what I have to say this morning. So this is what St. Augustine said at the end of the exposition of Psalm 38. He said, "Well, brothers and sisters, if I have burdened you, put up with it, because this sermon has been hard work for me too." So I'll leave that one there. So, anyway, getting into Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. So, for context, we're picking up in chapter 12, and there's been a shift from the first 11 chapters. So these first 11 chapters give us a walkthrough of the process of salvation. So, if you want to get a solid understanding of what it means to be a Christian, so to have Jesus Christ as your Savior, these first 11 chapters are excellent. So Paul lays everything out really clearly and logically, as he does. And it gives you, we could call it the head knowledge of salvation. But when we get to chapter 12, we get to the practical bit. And how the correct response to what we learn in the first 11 chapters is therefore to be this living sacrifice. So the passage we're looking at today is kind of split into two parts. So you've got verses 1 and 2 that tell us how we need to be a living sacrifice. And verses 3 to 8 tell us about what that looks like in the body of the church. So let's start thinking about what it is to be a living sacrifice. Verse 1 says, "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So what Paul's saying here is that fundamentally your life's not about you. So what do I mean by that? It means that you're not the focus of your life when you become a Christian. When we accept Christ as Lord, our focus shifts from ourselves and what we want for our lives to God and what God wants for our lives. So your whole body becomes then a tool for the glory of God. And Paul then tells us in verse 2 what it doesn't mean as well in terms of how we live. He says, "Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So what does conforming to the world look like? It's a pretty dark place where Jesus is not put first. It's a place of very little unity and a lot of division. Division based on, at the moment, primarily political leanings. You know, we think of people who are pro-independence, who are pro-union and so on. That's within our Scottish context. And things tend to be framed as my side being the moral compass of what's good and bad, and anyone who's not on my side is inherently wrong and couldn't possibly be acting in good faith. You see this a lot. If you want to know how not to communicate with each other, watch Prime Minister's Questions or any political debate, and you'll see what I mean. So currently, a secular worldview puts a huge emphasis on defining you primarily by your, say, your political leanings, always going to lead to division. You're seen, like I said, pro-independence, pro-union. You're seen as an SNP voter, Conservative voter, Labour voter, so on. A key thing to pull out here is you're therefore defined on how you're different from other people, not by what unites you. And then assumptions on your character and motivation are drawn from there. I mentioned at the start Sir David Amis, who was murdered on Friday. It was just a horrible, horrible thing to read about. I'm already seeing public figures who really should know better trying to use this as ways to fracture unity within us. You know, they're talking about the identity of the man who murdered him and what that means, and they draw certain things out, and it's not going to end well. Another thing that's becoming more and more common is that you're expected to act in a certain way according to what your group is, if it's political, social, cultural, to the point where it takes away any meaning of what it is to be an individual. Another way to divide us rather than unite us. And we see in verses 4 to 8 that although we're Christians, we're all different and therefore have different gifts that we can use to serve the church. So don't conform to the world, because how refreshing is it to know that in the church, none of this stuff defines who you are. You're not a liberal Christian, you're not a conservative Christian, a male Christian, female Christian, white Christian, black Christian, anything like that. You're simply a Christian. So regardless of your background or worldly identity, you've been saved through the death of Christ on the cross. Not because you deserve to be saved, but because salvation is a gift freely given to all who are going to accept it. So your identity as an individual with different gifts and abilities is now 100% in Christ, and anything else is at best secondary. I don't know about you, but I do hear a lot of people identify themselves as this kind of Christian or that kind of Christian. If you feel the need to add an adjective in front of the word Christian, what you're really saying is the gospel's not enough. So why do I say that? Well, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. That's Galatians 3:28. What matters here is that you're in Christ. It's a binary thing. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. So if you were all one in Christ, as Paul says, we can't possibly add any further meaning to the cross and the resurrection, because as Paul says earlier in Romans, we had nothing to do with the salvation that's freely open to us. All we can do is accept it. So this is where the renewing of your mind in verse 2 that Paul speaks about comes to the fore. This allows us to be the living sacrifice where we keep our focus fixed on the Lord. We don't conform to the world with the me-first way of living. But through understanding our Bibles and worshipping together and serving each other and serving the Lord, that's how we conform to the God-first way of living. Through the renewing of your mind, you're not the first in your life anymore, but God is. And that's how we become this living sacrifice. So now we've established that we put God before ourselves, let's look at what Paul goes on to speak about next. So if I read verses 3 to 5. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us is one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So in verse 3, Paul frames what he's about to say with "for." So we have to look at what he's about to say in the framework of what he's just said. Remember, we're a living sacrifice. And it's this within this framework that Paul says, by the grace given to me, I can say to you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. So we're getting at pride here. There's no room for pride in this passage. If you're a living sacrifice, there's no place for pride. You think thinking more highly of yourself than you should, we don't do that as Christians. You're then elevating yourself above Christ. Remember the Stuart Townend hymn, How Great the Father's Love for Us. This hymn's going to help us understand verse 3 more. So have a listen to it when you get home if you can. He says, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. So that's Galatians 6:14. That's Paul saying, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That's your living sacrifice. The idea of being crucified to the world, that's a really powerful image. But you're not living for the worldly things anymore, but living for the one who created the world and everything in it. And that's the difference. There's a freedom in this way of living that we need to be aware of when we take our focus off the world and put it on Jesus Christ. We're then to use the gifts that we've been given to us to serve Christ in the church. And we're going to get to that shortly. But when Christ is our focus, we don't need to worry about the things that the world wants us to worry about. If it's getting a bigger house, a bigger car, more influence among your friends, more power at work, or any of these things. We don't need to worry about all this temporary stuff that will at some point bring you down in one way or another, as if that's all there is to your life, and as if this life is all that there is. You're then free to focus what's truly important. Remember the words to the hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So now we've got rid of any leanings towards pride and that we must have a sober view of ourselves. It's worth looking at something else that's really important here. Having a sober view of yourself does not mean that you've got nothing to offer. Something key to understanding about your identity in Christ is that God loves you intensely, and I can't stress that enough or find words adequately convey that. But one of the ways we're showing this is that he builds his church through us. And my goodness, what a privilege it is that God loves us enough to entrust us with building his church with his guidance. It's kind of a common Northeast or even a British trait to be self-deprecating. I just did it at the start before the sermon. All of us at some point are going to, even multiple times, maybe right now, question what our value is and what our worth is. And if you're thinking that at the moment, it's worth reading Psalm 23 and Psalm 139. So if you want me to pray with you after the service, I'll do that. I'd happily do that. So this is the other side of having a sober view of ourselves. Removing pride does not mean we remove any sense of worth. Our identity is in Christ, not in the worldly things. Remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We all are probably familiar with John 3:16, and this is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. So if you're in a place where you don't feel like you've got much worth or much to offer, God thinks the opposite of you. He gave his only son for you, so let that sink in, because we can hear this so many times that we can actually lose the gravity of what that actually means. Josh has said to us before, there's no such thing as an ungifted Christian. I'll say that again, there's no such thing as an ungifted Christian. You're all transformed and therefore gifted through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the truth. So let's look at verses 6 to 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So let's look at verse 6. Our gifts are given to us by the grace of God. Remember, we've already spoken about how our true identity is in Christ. So if our identity is in Christ, Christ will equip us to do his work through the gifts that he's given to us. So after Paul tells us that we have gifts and we've established this, what does he then say? Let us use them. There's no conditions on that. It's not, well, maybe we could use them, or we could use them if we feel like it, but it's a command. Let us use them. So it's therefore not a case as Christians if we have gifts, but how do we use the gifts that we've been gracefully given and use them faithfully? So to help us frame how we should think of the gifts God's given to each of us, I'll quote Rick Warren. If you have heard of Rick Warren, he set up Saddleback Church in California, and he's written books like The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. They're both very good books that are worth reading. So what he said is, your spiritual gifts were not given for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others, just as other people were given gifts for your benefit. Remember, I said at the start, the focus of your life as a Christian isn't about you. The gifts you've been given by God are not about benefiting you. They are about furthering the kingdom of God here on earth through service to the church and to those who are not yet in the church. Another point here that we must be aware of that Rick Warren's made is that other people have gifts that they are to use for your benefit. That's your benefit. The beautiful thing about the work and life of the church is that we're all in it together. We're not meant to go through our lives as Christians on our own. And where all this begins is by joining together to worship Christ. It's great that we've got the use of technology, and it absolutely does have its place in the life of the church, but nothing can beat experiencing the presence of God when we join together to worship the one who laid down his life so that we can have life with him eternally. And in terms of going to church, I just read this the other day. Carol forwarded me on something I thought was really interesting and I thought worth mentioning here. Don't think of going to church as an event, but think of it as a family gathering. Because that's what it is. So to talk of Kemeny Church specifically, we use the gifts we've been given to build up Kemeny Parish Church and the influence that we have on the world around us. It's a team effort with God leading us. 1 Corinthians 12, if you're familiar with that, talks about this in a bit more detail. We're one body with many members. So to summarize that, we're all different and we've all got different God-given abilities, and I stress God-given abilities. and gifts that when we add up ourselves with our gifts, we make one functioning church where we're all equal in the eyes of God. I'd expect there might be some of you who are not sure what your gifts are. But don't worry about that. Don't feel bad about it. Like I said, these things can take time to work out. And it's something that we need to support each other in discerning. Sometimes it's good to speak to someone who knows you best. They're probably going to be able to give you a more objective idea of where they think your gifts might lie. But we don't just do that. We also have to pray together about it. Pray individually, pray with each other about it. And get stuck into your Bible. Read these verses we've been looking at today and prayerfully meditate on them. And it might take us time to, we might need to try different things, different ways of serving in the church. And that's okay. So if you try serving in one capacity and it doesn't work out, it just means that you're one step closer to working out where your gifting is. So to sum up the verses we've looked at today, we're to live as living sacrifices, not for a self-centered, me-first, worldly way of thinking that at the end of the day is ultimately going to disappoint us. Not thinking, what can I get out of life, but how can I use my life to glorify God and serve others and build up his church? God's never going to disappoint you. He's never going to fail you. He knows you and he loves you. So if you're a Christian, your identity's in him. It's all in the Bible. So take courage and let's step out this week into the week ahead, not to serve ourselves, but to serve Christ in his church. Amen.